Hosea chapter 8. Put the trumpet to your lips. Something like an eagle is hovering over Yahweh's house because they've broken my covenant and rebelled against my law. God had said that if they broke the covenant, the eagle, symbolizing the enemies of his people, would come and destroy them. But he says the eagle is hovering over the temple. It's about to come, but look, this is urgent. You can stop that happening by repenting. That's why Hosea is told to put a trumpet to his lips and appeal to the people. They cry to me, "My God, how we know you." But Israel has cast off that which is good. The enemy will pursue him. It's just like Gomer, who was Hosea's wife, who was a prostitute. She told him how she loved him. "Here, honey, is our new baby boy." And he looks at the baby and says, "Lo, Ami, not mine, not my people." This was the pain that God had reflected in the relationship between Hosea and Gomer. That Gomer said, "I love you, I know you, we're in relationship, we have a marriage covenant between us." But she was not faithful to that. And that was the pain, therefore, that God had, just like Hosea had, and it's the pain that he has with us when we're not faithful to him. "They have set up kings, but not by me. They've made princes, and I didn't approve. Of their silver and their gold, they have made themselves idols, that they may be cut off." So, in the same way as Israel worshipped idols whilst claiming to worship God, and as Gomer claimed to be faithful to Hosea when she was off with other men, so we can have idols as well, and the idols here are called their silver and their gold. And that is absolutely relevant to us, because wealth, silver and gold, is the idol of this age. "Let Samaria throw out his calf idol. My anger burns against them. How long will it be until they're capable of purity?" This is exactly Hosea's feelings with Gomer. He was so angry with her. He loved her so much, and therefore when she was unfaithful to him, it made him so angry. And that's just how God felt. But his hope was that at some point they would become capable of purity. Just as Hosea dreamt and fantasized of the time when Gomer would be faithful to him. Now, although we're not perfect, far from it, yet if we are totally from our very heart committed to God and to Jesus, how pleasing that must be to him when he's had so much bad experience of people who aren't faithful to him. "For this is even made in Israel, the workman made it, and it is no God. Indeed, the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces, for they sow the wind and they will reap the whirlwind." Well, sowing to the wind means just living a vain life that is going to get you nowhere. And that's what will happen if we spend our lives sowing, that is investing our time and effort, in that which is vain, in that which is empty, in that which will lead nowhere. Wasting your life watching stuff on screens, playing around with social media, this is sowing to the wind, and they will reap the whirlwind. "Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the nations like a worthless thing. They've gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey wandering alone. Ephraim has hired lovers for himself. For although they sold themselves among the nations, I will now gather them." So just as Gomer was unfaithful to Hosea, going off and sleeping with other men and taking money from them, so that is what God's people did. They went to Assyria, they went to these various nations, and God punished them by sending them off into captivity amongst those whom they had once loved. Because Ephraim has multiplied altars for sinning, they became for him altars for sinning. If you give yourself opportunities to sin, then you will. So don't give yourself the opportunities. "I wrote for him the great things of my law, but they were counted by him as a strange thing." So God's word is there, full of his love, of his guidance, and yet people ignore it. "As for the sacrifices of my offerings, they sacrifice flesh and eat it, but Yahweh doesn't accept them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish their sins." So just as Gomer claimed to be faithful to Hosea, so Israel claimed to be faithful to God. They kept the offerings, they kept the sacrifices, they kept up their religion, but it was just an appearance. And that is how we have to examine ourselves, going to meetings, even praying to God. Is this just the outward form of saying that we love God? Or are we really heart and soul committed all the time for Him? And so God says, they will return to Egypt, for Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has multiplied fortified cities, but I will send a fire on his cities. So he says they will return to Egypt, but later on God says they will not return to Egypt. This is not to say that God sort of contradicts himself or that he's not serious. Rather, is this a reflection of how passionate God is, that he has these feelings, like Hosea had the feeling that he wanted to kill Gomer, that he wanted to have her punished with death for adultery, which he could have done, but because he basically loved her and had this hope in her repentance, he didn't do this. And so God has those same kind of contradictory feelings. And you and I have sinned, and we have made God feel like this about us. Don't minimize your sins. Don't think that that's not the case. And yet his patience is a reflection of the great love that he feels toward us.